I know Mark is sad not to be here this morning. This is his sermon, and a sermon it is. Because it's very personal, it is written in the first person. So when I say I, remember, it's Mark who is speaking. This will help you remember if you think of me as 10 years younger and 20 times more talented. For the past 40 years, my artwork has been primarily focused on subjects that I wish to learn more about, and then sharing that knowledge in visual form, combined many times with written components. My extinct and almost extinct 50 paintings project is my latest endeavor. I began this series about 15 months ago. There are samples over here on the display table of those paintings. In early June, I reached the halfway point of the project and found myself in a state of despair for the future of life on this planet. But then in mid-June, a remarkable event happened that gave me hope. Sadly, I must begin with what had led me to a state of despair. The current rate of extinction is around 1,000 times faster than what the normal rate of extinction would be in the absence of human interference. In early June, it seemed clear that the countries of the world that are the greatest stimulators of ecological collapse are in the control of corporate powers that are reaping immense profits from the destruction of life on this planet. I also became aware of the many wonderful people all over the world who are working to try to stop this plunge into darkness. But I saw their noble efforts as being overwhelmed by the enormous power of these corporations, their puppet governments, and their massive propaganda machines. The possibility of pulling out of this downward spiral of suffering seemed nil. Then in early June, Pope Francis released an encyclical letter titled On the Care of Our Common Home. You may have seen it as Laudate Si. A 91-page document on the state of the world's ecology. My presumption was that the Pope would reinforce my dire conclusions. I was wrong. His letter painted a picture that was both darker and lighter. There are points of Catholic principles expressed in the Pope's letter that I do not agree with. But I have found that as I grow older, I need not agree with all the ideas of another to agree with some. In this case, I found the concepts and radical action he proposed profound. My first reaction was to write a guest opinion piece for the Idaho Statesman that was published on June 30th. After more reflection on the Pope's letter, I decided I wanted to play some small part in making these important ideas more accessible. And I wrote a booklet that I have titled The Restoration of Our Common Home. It is a series of summaries and commentaries on the Pope's letter that is available in the Book Nook. $4. It is available at the Book Nook at printing cost. I did not try to cover all sections in the Pope's complex document. Instead, I chose areas that I personally found enlightening in understanding the current ecological crisis. It may be said that I have secularized Pope Francis's letter in this booklet, and that would be a fair assessment. The rest of my sermon today will present some of the ideas in my booklet. Early in the encyclical letter, Pope Francis coins the word rapidification to indicate the unprecedented acceleration of change that humanity is affecting on itself and the planet. The ecosystem is staggering beneath the ongoing damage being caused by this rapid rate of change. Climate change is at the core of our crisis. Quote, the climate is a common good, the Pope states. And to alter that good is a threat to all. Scientific study after scientific study has shown that the climate is warming. Polar caps are melting, sea levels are rising, extreme weather events and weather patterns are changing. While there are multiple forces in this process, the human-engineered release of greenhouse gases is the primary cause. To stop this ongoing and increasing alteration of our atmosphere, the Pope called for changes in our lifestyle, including how we consume and how we produce. The habitats of the earth are being plundered for profit. Forests, jungles, wetlands, and natural prairies are diminishing at a rapid rate. With the loss of these great habitats come the loss of thousands of plant and animal species every year. Small creatures, large creatures, unseen creatures, all parts of the complex web of nature are being eliminated from Earth. This mass extinction is primarily human-induced, and most of these causes can be traced back to satisfying the desires of the consumer society. Excessive consumption overrides the long-term vision needed to conserve ecosystems critical to our survival and the survival of other species. In my project on extinction, I have researched to select species for the project. Closer research on the selected species. Photography research on the species and their environments. All this brought me into the reality of the extinction crisis. But it was in the making of the paintings themselves that I came to a clear understanding of the tragedy. To place stroke after stroke on the paper and slowly create my interpretation of a creature that no longer exists or that may soon be gone created a connection I had not anticipated when beginning the project. One day while painting the nearly extinct Sumatran orangutan, the first picture here, closest to me, I was studying a group of facial photographs of the great ape, and my eyes were transfixed by the eyes of one of the orangutans. The profundity and wisdom that looked back at me was overwhelming. To think that these noble creatures might soon no longer exist brought me deep sorrow. The Pope's letter grapples with the complex and multifaceted ways that technology is involved in the ecological crisis. Technology has reduced many of the sufferings that human beings endured for millennia and greatly improved the quality of life for many people. But not all technology has been to the benefit of human beings. There is an assumption by many that technological advances are good as are the progress and power they bring. But increasingly it seems that human societies are not equipped with the ethical sensibility necessary to use technology wisely. There are people in the world of technology who are working to make this now all-encompassing part of our daily lives a positive force. Pope Francis states, quote, an authentic humanity calling for a new synthesis seems to dwell in the midst of our technological culture, unnoticed, like a mist seeping gently beneath a closed door. Ecology is about how living organisms and their environments relate to one another. The ecological collapse is not just a collapse of nature. It is also a breakdown of our lives and our relationships to one another. In healing nature, we must also heal the dignity of humanity. We must find ways to mend the complex strands in the fabric of life that we have broken and frayed. The task is immense. Dispersing carbon dioxide, purifying drinking water, controlling epidemics, eliminating diseases, restoring the soil, breaking down waste, and much more. A shift from economic growth to economic ecology is required. If social structures are in chaotic imbalance, how can we hope to restore ecological balance? The common good is at the core of a balanced ecology. A society that is structured to maximize the good of its groups and individuals, and to develop social structures that allow every member the opportunity to fulfill her or his potential, is a society working for the common good. That would be a shift from selfish good to common good that is necessary and critical to change our direction from hopelessness to hope. Common good is not a concept for just now, for only our generation. It is a concept that must be considered for future generations as well. The Pope declares that predictions of horrific futures for generations to come can no longer be ignored as mere hyperbole. As we witness the collapse of our ecology and increasingly understand how this will escalate in the future, our duty to those who come after us cries out. Several years ago, I produced a long series of paintings on the Snake River and its many tributaries. In this remarkable part of the Northwest, where we live, my eyes experienced the great beauty of the mountains, canyons, deserts, rivers, streams, lakes, and waterfalls. I also experienced in many places in my travels where I could see in my mind's eye how beautiful that place had been before the beauty was forever lost to human development and abuse. How many of the exquisite places I painted will still have their grace and wonder for my great-grandchildren or my great-great-grandchildren? How many of the animals, birds, fish, trees, plants, and insects that inhabit these places now will be there in 100 years? As the climate changes, the resources dwindle, water dries up, and fires burn, what will happen to these glories of nature? The most serious threat to our common world is the use of fossil fuels, in particular coal, oil, and natural gas, primary producers of greenhouse emissions. They need to be phased out of use quickly and replaced by sources of renewable energy. But international meeting after international meeting has generated the same dismal results of lofty rhetoric and action that is far short of what is needed. The nations that are the primary generators of greenhouse gases bow to the pressure of economic interests that are driven by short-term growth and profit. To drain the resources of the world, to cut down its forests, to wipe out its biodiversity, to pollute its air and water, this is not progress. The corporate world has developed an advertising propaganda megastructure that dwarfs all political propaganda machines that preceded it. The average U.S. citizen is now confronted with 2,000 to 5,000 ads a day. This advertising blitz transcends mere commercialism and is a form of brainwashing that conditions people to participate in a system that is destroying life on our planet. Overwhelmed and helpless would be the description of how I felt beneath the massive dark balloon of our current economic system that seemed to loom over me. The Pope's message changed my perception of the dark balloon. I now see that the balloon has little feeder tubes that are connected to each of us in a consumer society. The balloon is not feeding us. We are feeding the economic system. And if I withdraw my tube, I stop supporting the system, and I also deflate it a little bit. Every other person that withdraws their tube does the same. This withdrawal can be accomplished with what the Pope describes as a new lifestyle. To quote, Many things need to change, of course, but it is we humans above all who need to change, states Pope Francis. Our society has evolved into a system that is designed to do one primary thing, consume. Not to consume for needs, but to excessively and pathologically consume. What we buy is a moral act, and withdrawing from the consumer society is a moral act and the most important act we can take. We must create a new lifestyle using our money and how we spend it to create change. We must generate a universal awareness of the power we hold to reverse the ecological collapse. This is a cultural revolution. This is an act of stepping outside ourselves and moving with others on a path of healing. With this act of abandoning extreme individualism and consumption, we move toward healing our fractured relationship with other human beings and the badly damaged environment around us. In this new cultural revolution, there will be no protests, no banners waving in the air, no marches, no lobbying, no campaigns, no confrontation, no violence, and no eco-terrorism. The new economic structure will support and create local business, local agriculture, local entertainment, local renewable energy sources, and more. It will involve a concerted effort to minimize energy consumption and water use. When support is withdrawn from the corporations that are fueling the collapse of our ecology, the economic and political powers must and will change. During the transition period to a new lifestyle, the money saved by lowering consumption can be applied to helping those people who are suffering under the current economy and supporting organizations that are protecting and preserving the life on our planet. This may sound utopian, but I do not see it that way. I understand that into this new lifestyle would come all the good and bad that human beings generate wherever they go. That is simply the way of life. There are people all over the world that already live this new lifestyle. There are people in our congregation that live this way. What is needed now is many, many more people doing the same. This is a new lifestyle that can include all people. It does not call for the sacrifice of comfort in our lives, but a change to a more satisfying, meaningful life. Pope Francis believes that such a transition in society will foster the virtues of moderation, simplicity, and humility. These virtues cultivate a quality of life that is directly connected to understanding what we need, that we need one another, and have responsibilities for others in the world that we share. Deep loving care for others and deep loving care for our world is synonymous. To make this change to a new lifestyle, people need to have their hearts touched. They need to feel the need for change, not think the need for change. A transition to new lifestyles will not happen overnight. It will take generations. Those of us living now will not see it fully developed, but we can see its beginning, and we will benefit from its awakening. We will have the satisfaction of being a part of the restoration of our world, a world where future generations can enjoy its great beauty. Some will say that people cannot make such a change. But the truth is that change is the only thing you can count on in this world. And human beings have survived because they can change rapidly. Around the world, there are people working to change our world for the better. I would like to do my small part in this effort. It is the small parts by individuals that will add up to a better life for us now and a brighter future for all on our planet.